It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doty Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody out there. It is the Don Tony Show for Saturday, August 27th. 2022. Oh boy. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Me, I am 7 days away from tying a knot, and I know you really can't see it. I think I am developing pink eye. This hurts. This hurts. This is swollen. Just what I needed. Why not, right? Can't have things go smooth. By the way, a lot of you were asking me, you know, with the wedding next Saturday and my honeymoon the week of the 10th, what's the show schedule for the foreseeable future? Well, this is my tentative lineup. Today, obviously, we have the Don Tony Show. Sunday will be the sit down with yours truly. Monday, we'll do your Raw post show. Wednesday night, Dynamite will be on schedule. The Q&A mailbag will post next Thursday. Now, here's the two changes. Next Saturday, I will be busy. So what we're going to do is a Friday night edition of the Don Tony Show. It'll start at 10 o'clock right after SmackDown ends. No disrespect to Rampage, but yeah, I'm not starting the show at 11 o'clock. So we will start the show next Friday at 10. The Friday after, we will also do the Don Tony Show. And then I will be on vacation, as you can see. So that is the tentative lineup. We will not obviously be doing a live all-out pay-per-view recap or Clash at the Castle, but you best damn believe on that Monday, September 5th, it'll be a loaded show. We will talk about Raw. We will talk about the two events that go down. Hey, we can't leave out NXT, Worlds Collide. NXT Worlds Collide is going to be a banger, too. You know, very important things going down with NXT UK. So, yeah, that show will be loaded. Loaded. All right. We got a few topics to get into today. You know, we'll briefly run down SmackDown a little bit. SmackDown, basically, and look, we're a week away. By the way, the predictions contest for everybody on Patreon and our YouTube channel members, I'm going to post the contests probably this Wednesday. And the reason why I'm going to do it early is because for those that don't know, SmackDown is already taped for September 2nd. It's already taped. It's in the bag. If you want to go seek out the spoilers, you could go see what goes down next Friday on SmackDown. I will give a non-spoiler preview in a little bit. But now since we know what matches on SmackDown side is happening at Clash at the Castle, once Raw takes place this Monday, we're not going to see any more changes for the most part. Shout out to Don Shamrock. Don Shamrock, thank you very much for the five spot. I will answer your super chat in a moment. So I'll get back to you in a second, but thank you for that. I appreciate it. So once Raw happens this Monday, the card is pretty much set. Pretty much set. So we'll do the predictions early this week because once Friday night comes, this coming Friday, I will be offline. So, all right. In my opinion, and I don't think my thoughts are going to change, that is Drew McIntyre last night after SmackDown. Some people think that's makeup. Nah, that's not makeup. That is the back of your next unified WWE champion. You do not have Karrion Kross sitting on the sideline focusing on Drew McIntyre more than anybody else if Drew is not going to be winning this championship. The lack of attention that Kross is giving to Roman Reigns, and I'm not criticizing anything about Kross at all. I'm not criticizing it. The fact that he is focused more on Drew McIntyre than anything else says a lot to me. Could Cross cost Roman Reigns the championship? I doubt it. I think, without giving spoilers away, you know, it appears the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is not happening at Clash at the Castle. So with that said, I'm wondering if Kevin Owens may be the one to cost Roman the championship, or better yet, Sami Zayn comes out there, tries to help, and it backfires horrendously. And Sami Zayn could inadvertently cause Roman. Listen, Roman Reigns is not going to be pinned clean, well, clusterfuck. But I truthfully believe 7 days out, more convinced than ever, Drew McIntyre is coming out of Clash at the Castle with the championships. And then remember my whole scenario. I'm a fighting champion. I have two belts. I will defend it to titles on both brands. Raw, come get some. SmackDown. I don't sound like Drew McIntyre. But you know Drew will be the fighting champion. Drew will ultimately lose one of those two belts rather quickly. That keeps the other one for a little bit longer. Who knows? Maybe Roman Reigns regains one of these championships down the line. Anything can happen. But, yeah, I think Drew McIntyre's got it. If you tuned into SmackDown yesterday, the video packages that they put together, it was so old school for me. You know, not necessarily when Austin was pursuing the WWF championship at the time, but, you know, they would do these video packages and focus on an individual more than anything. You know, obviously the contender. But it's just the style about the packages that they do when the contender is going to be the next champion. And it just felt that way yesterday. Everything about SmackDown was about to put the icing on the cake to make the case for Drew McIntyre to be the next champion. So we will see what happens. I could be way off on this one. But for 2 years, and look, next week, it is the Roman Reigns 2 year celebration as champion. And again, I'm not going to give spoilers on this show, but, you know, next week, everything sets up a Clash at the Castle. Now, before we get into a little bit more with SmackDown, Rampage a little bit, we'll obviously talk about these issues going on with Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara, Thunder Rosa, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, even Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has been spotted in New York City partying. 77th birthday for Vinnie Mac. Yeah, we could show it to you. I'll show it to you really quick. Vince McMahon, it appears he may have a new love interest. Or maybe this love interest has been around longer than we realize. When I saw this video, I just kept thinking to myself, you remember not too long ago, the Ric Flair TMZ video where Ric Flair was shown out and about with some unidentified younger woman. Now, when I say younger, I don't mean someone in their 20s, you know, and certainly not Chasing Rance territory. Oh, I'm gonna really let out a good one on Chasing Rance. It's been a while. Daphne, I love her to death. God rest her soul. We're approaching the anniversary of what happened last year. But I will tell you, and anybody that goes back to my hotline days, you already know what I'm about to say. She begged me not to throw Chase and Rance under the bus back in the day. This was before the pedophilia that he did. I want to make that clear. This had nothing to do with pedophilia as far as Chase and Rance back in the day. But, man, I used to go off on that guy. I did it on my hotline once, and literally 15 minutes later, 404 area code is ringing, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And she's like, please, you can't do that. Please, please. And I'll explain why later. But Chase and Rance, move over, Nicholas. Oh, man, this is a story that really shows you that people out there are more about just posting something, getting their comment out there to make it look like they give a shit, and then they move on. You know, if you were always upset about the Joey Ryan stuff, how Chase and Rance has been able to get away with this for so many years. And look, I want to make this clear. Jason Rance is not doing anything illegal right now. I'm going to make that clear. But when I show you what is going on and what is not being done about it, you realize how disingenuous so many people are out there. And I don't give a fuck who I piss off. But we're going to talk about this later on. Jason Rance, here's a little teaser. Here's a little teaser. That's a better picture of it. Congratulations to Jason Rance, who is now tag team champion of Team Vision Dojo. He won the tag team titles. What a 16-year-old. You can't fucking make this up. A motherfucker is on a registered sex offender. And the best part about it, he pulled the Joey Ryan. He pulled the Joey Ryan and nobody even realizes it. We'll get into that a little bit later. All right, let's talk about Vinnie Mac. Vince McMahon was spotted in New York City a couple of days ago. 77 years young, Vince McMahon. He went to New York City, went to a restaurant called the Waverly Inn. The Waverly Inn. I've never been there. I've heard about it. A lot of celebs like to go there. Vince was not alone. Before we show you Vince and what may be his current love interest, John Cena went to the party with his beautiful wife. Pat McAfee was at the party, dressed as only Pat McAfee could dress. There is Brock Lesnar hanging out with Pat McAfee. Yeah, there is Vince. There is Vince. Vince McMahon covering his face. I'm a little surprised. I got the video, by the way, and it's really nothing. But I was a little surprised at of him covering his face the way he was, only because he wasn't being lambasted by reporters. All right, there he is. Now, when you see Vince go by, you know, I know there's a lot of people like, wow, I'm not used to seeing Vince wearing normal casual attire. But this is Vince McMahon. You know, nobody was calling him anything terrible, you know, and he is entering the vehicle with an unidentified blonde woman. That is, no, it's not a caretaker. Vince McMahon is not at that age yet. Oh, there's John Cena. So that is Vince. Here, little close-up. That is Vince covering his face. That is his purse-hungry with maybe a love interest. You know, I thought, okay, maybe that's just a bad picture. And then I realized, no, she actually had the strap of her purse in her mouth. She likes to eat purses, apparently. Here's another picture. There is Vince. You know, when I saw the one on the left, I said, okay, maybe because he's not wearing a mask and he's around paparazzi. Because you know how Vince is with germs. If Vince, can you imagine if Vince actually, you know, connected lips with this woman in the truck? And then he realized that she was biting a dirty handle from a purse. You know, because, I don't know, her hands seemed to be free. I don't know why she did that. There's actually a picture on the other side because I wasn't sure if she was actually holding her purse by her mouth. Then I thought, okay, maybe she's got Zach Gowen syndrome. Maybe she don't have hands. But no, the flip side of the photo, she actually has the purse in her mouth. But Vince McMahon covering his face. You know, my honest opinion, I know Vince McMahon will never hear what I'm about to say, but you cover your face like that, that shows embarrassment. And you look at his face. I mean, let's look at the video one last time. Look at him walking into the vehicle. All right, look, he's walking. He doesn't seem happy. It's his birthday. He just wants to get in the vehicle and sit down. And you look at the close-up of his face. This man doesn't look like he's happy. You just blew out 77 candles, and your pink candle might be blown out a little bit later in the night. Why do you look so down? I think that's merino wool, by the way. If anybody doesn't know what merino wool is, Google it. I think Vince was wearing some merino wool. So, yeah, so that's what happened. New York City, Vince McMahon spotted the first time since stepping down. But again, you know, he wasn't being like, people weren't yelling out, calling him horrible things. But man, that looked like a guy who was embarrassed. Embarrassed. Yeah. Good old Vince. 77 years old, man. Look, maybe she was trying to adjust herself and she put the bag in her mouth. I mean, I'm sure some of us at some time, you got your keys and you know, your phone is ringing, so you put your keys in your mouth. Yeah, I've done that. Maybe that's why I got fucked up eye. All right, so that's your Vince McMahon sighting. Let's talk about Chase Arance. No reason to get into this detailed because, look, a little breaking news for people out there that don't realize it. Chase Arance has been teaching at this Team Vision Dojo for many, many years. Every couple of years, it seems like a couple of news journalists will post a story acting like they're outraged. 5 minutes later, it's a dead issue. The guy has been posting on Eventbrite. The guy has been posting on social media pages. The guy runs events. The guy is all over the place. He has been training for years. Years upon years upon years. So if you feel like there's a sudden outrage amongst journalists out there, do a little history and you realize that every year or two, they're like, hey, you know, let's just post something about Chase Arance. So we act like we're outraged. Then a day or two later, we forget about it. And he goes on and does what he does. The reason why I'm bringing it up now is because of this. The guy is a convicted sex offender. He was convicted in 2011, having relations with a minor. How old was she? 15, whatever it is, you know? So he is a convicted sex offender. He's on a registry. Now, he just won the tag team championships with a minor. And everybody has told me that she is 16 years old. All right. I'm sorry, man. This is his official registry in Florida, his predator flyer. Yeah, that's what Florida calls it, a predator flyer, because they want the neighborhood, the community, to be warned about Chase Arance just because it happened. This is like the Benoit thing. You know, Benoit was just such a good wrestler. We could separate the murderer from the wrestler. We could separate the sex offender with, you know, the fact that he's such a good trainer. So look at this. When you see this, all this shows you is a picture of him, his name. If you zap one of those Q codes, if you did the ones from NXT recently, you could do it right now. You could zap that Q code right now. It'll show you the vehicles that he drives, the plate numbers. It'll show you where he lives. That photo is about 2 years old. Some people think that because it's been 10 years, 11 years, that no, things have changed. The reason why I'm bringing this up now is because Team Vision Dojo issued a statement, a new statement, as to why they allow Chase Arance to train minors. Now, when I said earlier that Chase Arance pulled the Joey Ryan, I am working on this. I'm going to get the name of the legal corporation or LLC or DBA, whatever Team Vision Dojo is. I'm going to get the corporate information. Some of this is public information. You just got to know where to look. I'm going to find out if Chase Arance owns Team Vision Dojo. What I can tell you with 100% certainty is that the reason why Team Vision Dojo gushes over Chase Arance more than anything is because the guy has deep, deep pockets. I don't remember how he got his money, but little growing up Don Tony, and a little story that I was going to tell you with Chase Arance. Back in the mid-2000s, Daphne lived with Chase and Rance. A lot of you may not know that. Several wrestlers lived with Chase and Rance. Chase and Rance, and this might be wrong, I don't do wiki, and I'm not going to bother doing research about his money. But I do remember that a long time ago, Chase and Rance came into money. I think it was inheritance. Chase and Rance owned a giant house in Florida. I don't know if he owned it or rented it, but it was a giant house in Florida that had like six bedrooms. So what was happening in the mid-2000s, might have even been late 2000s. No, it's mid-2000s because he got arrested in 08, so it's mid-2000s, maybe 06. I think it was around 06. In the mid-2000s is wrestlers that were working in Florida, TNA, good example, TNA. You had some wrestlers that were living with Chase and Rance, and Daphne was one of them. And, you know, back then, there was some things with Chase and Rance, some stories, nothing about illegal activity. This was before the arrest, you know, with the minor. And I used to address some of the shit on my show. And something happened at the house where he left the door open or something. And unfortunately, like Daphne's cat, like ran out, got killed. But the thing is that there were other things about Chase and Rance. He was just a total asshole. But because wrestlers had a place to stay, and they really needed it because they were trying to get work in Florida, especially with TNA, like a lot of wrestlers would like, look, he's got this giant house. You know, he might not be like the best person to hang out with, but, you know, it's an opportunity to further your career. And there was no love interest. I want to make that clear. But Chase and Rance was an asshole. And I used to bring it up on my hotline a lot. And one time I brought up one or two incidents. I don't remember the exact details. I'd have to go back to the hotline and hear it. And a few minutes later, my phone goes off and it's Georgia number. And I'm like, ah, fuck. And she's like, look, I just heard your hotline. Please, you got to take that down. You got to take that down. A lot of you may remember with Francine back in the day. Francine had a website. She used to sell some of her in-ring stuff. And there was a guy that was a super fan. I think his name was Charlie. You don't believe me, you can ask her. And Charlie, you know, I don't remember how I interacted with him, but he said something really nasty to me. And I'm like, okay, motherfucker. I went on my hotline and I threw all his dirty laundry of Charlie out on the show. Literally an hour later, Francine, please, you got to take that down. He loves what I do. He's a really nice guy. He's harmless. He supports me and everything. You know, I can't have that. So I took it down. But Chase and Rance was not, you know, a very good person. But apparently because he is a great trainer, that it's okay. So now this picture surfaces from Team Vision Dojo that Chase and Rance won the tag titles with a 16-year-old. Nicolina, we'll call her. We had Nicholas with Braun Strowman. This is Nicolina. The difference is Braun Strowman is not on a Florida sex offender registry. So I got to read you the statement that Team Vision Dojo just made about Chase and Rance training minors. Now, again, I need to remind you, Chase and Rance has been training minors for years and years and years. What people don't understand is that Chase and Rance's deep pockets is what funds a lot of Team Vision Dojo. And not only that, if you realize who runs Team Vision Dojo, Chase and Rance pulled the Joey Ryan. Do you remember when Joey Ryan made that statement that he went for help and he did this and he played the victim? He played himself as a good guy and it backfired completely. When I read you this statement, think in the back of your mind that Chase and Rance was the one that wrote this statement. Okay? This is the statement. Defending Chase and Rance training minors. And when I'm done, it's not long, small paragraph. When I'm done, I'm going to expose the one thing that they don't say anywhere in this. Hello. At least they're, you know, polite. Hello. Chase and Rance was deemed guilty in the court of law in 2011 for actions that took place in 2008. During his time on probation, Jason was in therapy. Sounds like Joey Ryan, right? Not allowed to interact with minors and had to submit to drug testing. Jason completed everything that was required by law, then went back to training minors again, sharing full knowledge of his past with parents. Jason continues to be one of the best trainers in professional wrestling around, and there's no denying that. While the actions of the past look very bad, the future looks bright for all those that Jason continues to help. Thank you for any concerns. Everyone at Team Vision Dojo is doing great and have many big projects continuing and others in the works. If you would like to contact Jason regarding anything else or other false accusations that this website has promoted in the past that was debunked, I guess they were addressing somebody, feel free to contact him at jason@gmail.com. Team Vision Dojo. Yeah, I would love to know what Florida's reaction would be, what you just fucking wrote. Jason Rantz is on that registry, and after 20 years of conviction, you can request for some reason to be removed from the sex offender registry. I don't care if it's been a year, 5 years, 10 years. That motherfucker is still on his offender registry. His plate numbers, his vehicles, his address. Every year or two, they got to post a photo. This is called a predator flyer. Do you imagine if Team Vision Dojo contacts Florida and says, no. You know, that's unfair to put him on a predator flyer. That's old news. No, that was screenshotted earlier today. He did everything he was supposed to. He's not a criminal anymore. Why is there not a sign, a sticker, a disclaimer on the front of the building? Yes, I have pictures of the building, and I have pictures of inside the building, and I do not see anywhere. Soon as you walk through that door, there should be a sign. Please be advised that the trainer, owner, lead trainer is Jason Rantz, who is on the Florida Sex Offender Registry. I gotta tell you, man, you know, I think, I don't know how Florida is with 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds, but I wonder if any of those individuals are required to have a parent's signature. And I wonder if there's like some type of affidavit that says that I so-and-so allow my daughter or son, you know, to be trained at this school, knowing full well that the owner, trainer, manager, whatever, is currently on the sex offender registry. You walk around your neighborhood. If you don't look, you have no idea that somebody down the block from you might be a sex offender. I would think if you have a kid that goes to a wrestling school, a gym, a ballet class, arts and crafts, whatever you want to do, I would think that you would want to know when you see the place that it's posted. Not that you look into it, oh, by the way, you know, my trainer, you know, he was arrested, you know, back in. It doesn't pass the smell test for me. I'm sorry. Because that statement is trying to make it come across, and there's no denying it, that Jason Rantz is healed. He's done his time. It's over. He did everything Florida required him to do, and he's this great trainer, and that's why we support him. That's the Joey Ryan shit all over again. And what's sad about it is, you know for a fact that a week from now, nobody's going to give a shit. People, you know, have fun with Joey Ryan. And Joey Ryan, I told you, you know, you know my thoughts on him. But here's a guy. This is current as of today. Does that look like someone that is no longer on the registry? That attitude that Team Dojo did. First of all, it's Chasen Rance trying to put himself in a positive light, obviously. But that attitude just shows you that this is a non-issue anymore. And, you know, I wish how people, some people pursue drunk drivers the way they do. You know, I wish there were people out there that would pursue something like this. You know, I would fucking get printers and stickers, and I put that shit right on the building. I know for a fact that Team Vision Dojo does not own that building. They rent it. You know, I find that disturbing. You know, look, do I think Chasen Rance still looks at minors that way? I have no idea. I don't know the man. I don't know what he does every day. All I know is that if I go online and I'm in Florida, I'm like, hey, I want to see who lives in my neighborhood that's a sex offender, and this pops up. There's nothing on there that says, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, he did therapy. Yeah, but, he was told not to be around minors. Yeah, but my balls. But my balls, that's disturbing, man. So, I just wanted to share with you. You know, it's one thing to train minors. You put a fucking tag team title on yourself with a minor. You tell me in what fucking planet that you could turn around and say, oh, okay, that's cool. That's cool. A convicted sex offender who is currently on the registry is posing, smile ear to ear, with a 16-year-old girl. It's just bizarro land, man. That's to me, that's like Chasen Rance saying, hey, everybody, fuck you. Fuck you. You ain't stopping me. And you know what? To his credit, no one has stopped him. No one has stopped him. All right. Now we move on. All right. This, what's good about it is we really don't have to spend much time about it. Because we've been talking about blurred lines going back to the night that MJF walked out. Didn't show up at that signing. People thought he was flying home. Tony Khan has got a major problem right now. We've talked about the blurred lines and how AEW is trying to push that on TV. Giving this aura that there's this hardcore heat with people, trying to take real life situations and for the betterment of the company and everybody who is a team player, put it out there and it becomes a good storyline. We talked about Matt Hardy with Edge back in the day. We've talked about others back in the day. The problem is when you can't. As a wrestling fan, it's cool. As a wrestling fan, when you don't know where suspension of disbelief ends and reality begins, or vice versa, that's when wrestling is at its best. You know, when you think back to the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, I mean, that feud was fucking great. And it led to the stadium stampede, and it was beautiful. Until that idiot from the Jacksonville Jaguars posts a photo of MJF hanging out with Chris Jericho watching on the monitor. What? You know, so as a wrestling fan, you don't want to know. Of course, we're all curious and we try to figure it out. The problem is this. For Tony Khan now, because people don't know where the line ends and the other begins. For journalists, they try to cover it as a news story. And they try to cover everything. And in some cases, remember the thing with MJF? Why report the actual story when you can actually be part of the story? No, they're not on the payroll. And no, they're not going to show up on TV in storyline. And they're not going to bring up that this person covered this. But by looking the other way and not really grilling Tony Khan about MJF, not really talking about Captain Obvious and this and that, they're actually helping the storyline. If you are a huge fan of a product and you know that if you kind of like play ignorant about something, you're helping the storyline. Makes sense. CM Punk, they did the very same thing. He almost quit. He almost no-showed Dynamite. He almost did this. He almost did nothing that anybody wrote. And now that's been proven. And everybody just quickly like goes on to a different topic, trying to make people forget that that's what they reported. So now you got Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara. All right. And now the reports are that Eddie Kingston was suspended for 2 weeks, 1 week, whatever it was. That the match with him and Guevara is in jeopardy for All Out. And apparently Eddie Kingston was very upset when Sammy Guevara called Eddie Kingston a fat piece of shit. And then supposedly Eddie Kingston took a swing at Sammy Guevara behind the scenes. Okay? Now we go to Thunder Rosa. And there's a reason why I'm going to her to show you what I mean. So now you got Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa, Battle of the Belts, broke Jamie Hayter's nose. We talked about that. Shit happens. Accidents happen. I think people forget. You know, during matches, we've had other wrestlers, you know, cause injury. From Britt Baker to, didn't Nyla Rose land the wrong way and someone got hurt as well? You know, injuries happen. But, you know, I want to say something now to warn all of you about journalism. Something that I don't think you realize. And I think of everything that we've talked about recently, this little aspect is something that nobody talks about that you really need to start being aware of. You had people reporting that Thunder Rosa, after she accidentally broke Jamie Hayter's nose, Thunder Rosa was hiding in a bathroom, trying to avoid confrontation with Jamie Hayter. Okay. That in itself, you know, is ridiculous, all right? But I want to prove a point. If you go back and look at those websites, you will see a statement, a phrase written over and over and over again. And it's written with a lot of other topics. It was written about Kingston. It was written about her and Britt Baker, that they've had this long heat for a year or whatever. They will write a phrase that you have to be very, very aware of. And what that phrase is somebody will say that multiple sources have confirmed this. Multiple sources have confirmed this. Take note, they never tell you who those multiple sources are. Why? Because what they are actually doing is, I own a wrestling news website, and I see that somebody reports that AJ Styles has diarrhea. Okay? Now, you have a wrestling news website. Josh, who's hanging out right now, he's got joshesnews.com. So Josh goes on his website and he tells everybody, hey, friends of my website, I'm reporting, I just got word AJ Styles has diarrhea. Harris B, he's got a little social media group. Hey, guys, I heard that AJ Styles has diarrhea. Darren Gordon Hill, he's too lazy to have any of that. Austin Nance has a website, Darren. And he writes to everybody, hey, my sources tell me that AJ Styles has diarrhea. Now you get wrestlingnerd.com that says multiple sources have confirmed AJ Styles has diarrhea. Because you have 10, 20, 30 sites writing the same thing, somehow that turns into confirmation. And that's what they're doing. So when you read about multiple sources have confirmed that there was an incident where Thunder Rosa was hiding in the bathroom, no, there was not multiple sources confirm it. It was everybody just wrote the same shit based on what other people were saying. And because 50 people wrote it, oh, it's confirmed. That's how it works. So be prepared with stuff like that. But the thing is with Thunder Rosa, and now we go back to the Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara thing. Tony Khan has got a major, major problem right now. The aesthetics of AEW are really starting to wear, and it's really starting to turn into a fucking mess. You know, I know we brought up Bobby Fish's comments lately saying, look, you know, we do what we do. It's up to the promoter to utilize us the right way. You know, the Uncle Tony, you know, Tony Khan, Uncle Tony, you know, family, this and that. It's starting to wear off, and fans are starting to realize that AEW is no different than TNA, no different than MLW, no different than WWE, no different from any promotion you want to bring up. And Tony Khan right now has a major problem because Tony Khan is still an amateur when it comes to being, you know, like an owner of a, you know, multi-million dollar industry. You know, that's why when Vince retired, you know, whether it was a joke or not, when he runs out there and says, hey, I'm the longest running, you know, owner or whatever it is, you know, it's a game. It's like fantasy with him. And the problem is that a lot of the foundation of AEW is eroding. There is no question that there are cliques within AEW. There are cliques. You could see it on TV. You could see who gets more TV time than others. You could see who is treated like royalty and who is treated like matter of fact. And Tony Khan right now, it's not going to be Arn Anderson. It's not going to be Jake the Snake Roberts. It's certainly not Tully Blanchard. It's not going to be just Tony Schiavone. You don't have those locker room leaders, those Hall of Famers, those veterans, the agents that can, where you have people, you look, I have nothing against Sonjay Dutt, and I have nothing against Christopher Daniels and others. But, you know, they can act executive all they want, but there is a clique associated with them. You have wrestlers that come in that have more of an attitude like CM Punk, who might be a loner, who might be a little bit extra outspoken. If that rubs the Omegas the wrong way, if that rubs the Young Bucks the wrong way, if that rubs anybody working behind the scenes in the wrong way, you're not going to be in sync. And the problem is Tony Khan has no one. You can have a locker room meeting. What was the first thing that you heard that got reported from that locker room meeting last Wednesday? What's the first thing that you heard come out? Oh, Tony Khan told Nick Khan and Stephanie, you know, in my Pink Floyd, The Wall voice, hey, WWE, leave my kids alone. You know, that's the first thing. Trying to put the power move like, yeah, I told WWE, I warned them, stop trying to interfere. There's issues eroding, and the problem is, you ever see that GIF, the GIF file, the animated file of Big E eating the popcorn? That's what everybody online is doing. Everybody just wants to eat the popcorn and be titillated with all of this shit. So now you have Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara, and that match may still end up happening All Out this Wednesday, because AEW doesn't do confrontations every week. Look at Sting and Darby Allin. They show up 1 week, they're gone for 2-3 weeks, and then they show up again. If Eddie Kingston shows up on Wednesday, if you never heard about anything happening with him and Guevara, you would have thought, oh, it's just the way AEW does things. Not everybody's on TV every week. But the problem is now you can't tell where it's blurred lines and where it's just a real problem behind the scenes. Thunder Rosa went on Busted Open Radio. Thunder Rosa reports that her injuries are very serious. Herniated or bulging discs in your back, your neck issues, where you can't feel your legs. That it's so bad that doctors say, no, you can't wrestle, you know, and she doesn't want to get surgery. She wants to have it heal naturally. She's got kids. As she said on Busted Open, you know, I want to be, when I turn 40, I want to be able to, you know, live a normal life with my family. And she, her injuries are a lot more serious than people realize. So now she drops the championship. And then you have Britt Baker, who is a heel on TV that, you know, doesn't give a shit, she turns around and says, hey, I wrestled with a broken freaking neck. All right. Do I think Britt Baker at that very moment was taking cheap shots at Thunder Rosa? I don't think she giggled after the segment was over and said, could you imagine Thunder Rosa's face right now? I don't think so. I think Britt Baker, still, you know, not a veteran in wrestling, thinks, oh no, when the camera's on, I'm a heel. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD character, would say something like that. The problem is, you can't tell if it's blurred lines or if it's a real issue. And people are interpreting it the way they deem fit. Whether it's to titillate themselves and get excited, like, oh, look at all this friction. You see people now that suddenly are, you know, going against AEW. We called that a year ago. Once you start seeing issues with AEW, you know, if Triple H was not in charge right now, you think those people would be suddenly offering all this advice to AEW? They turned a blind eye for 3 years because they thought this. They thought that they were going to be able to rub elbows. They thought that Tony would be following them on social media. Tony would invite him over for dinner. Hey, you want to go smoke? You know, you want to do this? You know, hey, you know, hey, shout out. Oh, yeah, the media scrum. Hey, I love your show. Oh, I love your pay. Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. None of that happened. So now, now I can look like I'm trying to help and save. No, it's just they wasted 3 years. This should have been nipped in the bud 3 years ago. This is not new. And the thing is, and I'm going to say it, I wonder how much different things would be right now if Cody Rhodes was still in the position he was in AEW. Everybody out there tried to make you think like, oh, his position wasn't as big as people realize. That, no, you know, it's team effort. You know, no, it's Cody's no longer there. No problem. Everybody picks up a little bit of slack and will be just fine. You look at what Cody did professionally outside the company, representing the company, the way he talked to people in the company, the opportunities he gave. Then remember when you heard the friction between Cody and Kenny Omega? That's WCW shit all over again. That is WCW shit all over again. And I'm telling you, you remember about two and a half years ago, I compared Tony Khan to Dixie Carter. So now you're going to start seeing comparisons of AEW to WCW. And you're going to see power plays being made by people. And you're going to see people who are Tony Khan's, you know, favorites. And that's why they get away with stuff. So this is a big problem. And I don't know who Tony Khan could bring in to fix it. But the people in-house cannot fix it. Because when you have your clicks and when you have your way and you have your vision, remember, Tony Khan owns AEW. None of those people own AEW. So as long as they got their money and as long as they got their power and as long as they don't lose authority, you know, everything is cool with them. They don't have nothing to lose. It's not their company. And if needed, they get up and they leave and they go work somewhere else. So they got a big problem right now. Very big problem. So, all right. Now I want to show you something else with Thunder Rosa. Just to show you the elite disrespect. Now, I had to speed this up so we don't have any copyright issues. But, you know, just because you got Jade Cargill and just because she's an enigma, and she's going to be a big star, barring injury or self-fucking up. I think Jade Cargill will be a gigantic superstar. She still has a lot of seasoning to go. But you look at that women's division, and you see for 3 years how it's been handled. It reflects Ring of Honor, man. It reflects Ring of Honor. You know, I'm not bashing Tony Khan, but if you remember what Tony Khan was before becoming owner of AEW, he was a hardcore Ring of Honor fan, New Japan, you know, ECW, any of those three promotions for all of those years. Did it ooze women's wrestling? Did it really? Or was it a very, very small part of it? And you could put smoke and mirrors all you want. You look at the way, you know, Athena, and, oh, they're going to fight at the pay-per-view. This motherfucker's been in that company for how many months now? Was it 3 months? And they're going to have a match. And what do you think is going to happen at that match? And then what happens after? She wrestles on Elevation and Dark for 5 out of 6 weeks. And then when people start complaining publicly, then magically you get a match on Elevation. You might get a match on Dynamite. And it's the same shit again. You look at Ruby Soho. I mean, you know, she didn't really break her arm, everyone. And 2 weeks later, she was in the ring. You know, and they're acting yesterday like she finally got her revenge on Ty Mello. I'm like, you know, sorry, that's like old news now. And they lost yesterday. And that match, I don't know. I don't know. She hit the Poison Rana, which was really nice. But you look at Ruby Soho. You honestly feel that Ruby Soho is done better in AEW than she did in WWE? You know, so this women's division is smoke and mirrors. It is smoke and mirrors. I want you to see something. And again, I had to speed it up. That is CM Punk coming out to relinquish his championship due to injury. And that is Thunder Rosa relinquishing her belt due to injury. And as you could see on your screen, Thunder Rosa got a total of 47 seconds to relinquish this championship. CM Punk got 10 minutes and I think, what, 50 seconds? 10 minutes and 20 seconds. That, by the way, that who gets that credit? Who gets that credit? Let me just acknowledge him. Who is Don Stevens? Another Don! Shout out to the Don! Look at that, everybody. Thunder Rosa got 47 seconds, and I would dare say that Thunder Rosa's injury, I won't call it career-threatening, but Thunder Rosa's injury is a hell of a lot more serious than CM Punk with his foot. CM Punk got over 10 minutes. Thunder Rosa got 47 seconds. Tell me where that's acceptable. Tell me where that's acceptable. And then because you call another wrestler a name. Oh, Sammy called Eddie a fat piece of shit. CM Punk called Hangman Page coward shit, even though we last week showed you that Kenny Omega also did as well. And it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then Britt Baker in character makes a little remark. Hey, I wrestle with a broken neck. You know, then it's, you know, it's like, nah, it's no big deal. So there is some major disrespect. And honestly, that women's division, you put Riho out there. You put that other one from Japan. Who's that one? What was her name? Not, oh God. What was the one, the animated one that sings? You know, this is just, these are like Kenny Omega favorites. What's her name? I can't remember her name. Maki Ito. Thank you, Soulfly. Maki Ito. You look at this stuff. This is Kenny Omega stuff. Do you honestly think if Kenny Omega is no longer in AEW, you honestly think you're going to see all those Japanese wrestlers in there still? You think you're going to see Riho again, Maki Ito? I don't know about Shida. I think Shida is at the point now where Shida's like, you know what? Fuck this. Or just pay me my money and I'll just, you know, I'll sit on the sidelines. But think about that. If Kenny Omega was not in AEW right now, what the fuck would that women's division look like? Because you know damn well Tony Khan does not treat the women's division even this much compared to the men's. Thunder Rose has got a major serious injury. Imagine going to AEW management saying, look, I got bulging discs in my neck and my back. And I can't feel my legs. And, you know, it's really, really concerning. I can't wrestle. And she's all emotional and very upset about it. And they say, okay, Tony, grab the mic. You know, you got 45 seconds. If I was Thunder Rosa, man, actually, this was a super chat that came in. I agree with this 100%. Mikey Ravello says, I see you're going to post a video comparing Punk's speech to Thunder Rosa's when they gave up the belts. Now knowing how bad her injuries are, I think she needs to get out of AEW and go to WWE once better. I agree. I don't think AEW is... When I put Sloppy Shop with that picture with Eddie Kingston, and I'm not talking about COVID or injuries or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, where is the leadership? You know, Dustin Rhodes could get quoted saying a couple of things here and there, but where is the true leadership? You know, where are those locker room leaders? Just because you're an agent and just because you say, my DMs are open, doesn't make you a locker room leader. It just seems like they have seven locker room leaders and there's seven different locker rooms. So I think Thunder Rosa should go to WWE. I think now under Triple H, I think Triple H obviously would use her a hell of a lot different Vince McMahon would. I don't know how much more of a contract she has, but the only thing is, look, doesn't she run Mission Pro Wrestling? So Thunder Rosa, maybe they would allow her because Cody, you know, he's still got the Nightmare Factory. So Thunder Rosa has outside commitments. So we'll see. But I personally think, look, if anybody's going to try to convince you that the women's division is going to change totally in AEW anytime soon, it's not. It's not. What you see is what you get. And you can argue and you could do this, but there's so many people out there that are so afraid to address it or confront it, you know, it stays the way it is. So, shout out to Don Chamorro. Salute, DT from Rotterdam. Have I ever considered making a video about the pro wrestling iceberg? Thought about something in the past. The problem is I try to do things, you know, that everybody at some point would have some interest in. You know, look, not everybody knows about Chase and Rance. Not everybody knows about this, but, you know, other things, it's got to be something that a lot of people would want to check out. If I start doing little individual videos, then I would definitely, you know, consider it. But, you know, to spend that much time and if 90% of my audience is not interested in something like that, you know, I try to give a little bit for everything, but, and that's another thing. You're a good point. You know, that's a subject that I don't think you could do in a small amount of time. So, but thank you for that. It's good question. Good question. Casey is Raw. Thank you for the five spot. Good start to the morning watching the stream. I hope everybody's having a great time. If you are enjoying the show, drop kick that fucking like button. You'd be surprised. It helps. It helps. We had a great episode last Saturday, and a lot of you went out of your way to do that. And I had a lot of people emailing me to like, hey, love, you know, never knew the show before. Popped up in my feed. Fucking UPS. Answer the door. Fucking lazy, man. All right. Let's get into a couple other things. AEW Dynamite. 1,049,000. I think I said 1,035,000 on Wednesday. You know, not too far off. It's a decent number. It is a decent number, but check this out. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not going to lie. Some of this had to do with Cornette. I was watching an episode with Cornette the other day. They were talking about the 1996 Raw shows. And Cornette asked Brian Last, you know, what did 1.0 represent in ratings? Because remember, back in the day, ratings were not based on the number of viewers. It was percentage. Oh, Raw beat Nitro 5.8 to 4.1. But you never really paid attention. How many viewers represents 5.8? So I started getting curious. I started doing a little research. And what I found is in 2000, when ECW was on TNN, we got Pop. Remember that? Rollerball. Roller Jam. What was it? Roller Jam. whenever ECW was on, they were scoring like 1.0. I think their debut episode where the main event was Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam, I think it did a 1.2. And I did not realize that at that time, 1.0 was almost 2 million viewers. So believe it or not, ECW at some points was getting like on average 1 million to 1.5 million viewers. And that was for a very watered down, what was it, Friday afternoon, you know, show. And almost all the content we had already seen, and it was very watered down. I know with different time now, you know, it's we got streaming media and YouTube and so many ways to watch TV, which is awesome. But I don't know about you, but whenever the Super Bowl comes on, you look at viewership compared to 15 years ago, and the viewership is very similar. When you see presidential debates, when you see a playoff game, you know, the viewership seems to rival what it used to be. And the reason being, and this is what I'm getting at with AEW, the reason being is because, you know, if you want to see something right when it happens, live, you got to see it right then and there. Super Bowl, halftime, playoffs, presidential debate, whatever it is, you have to go to certain network, certain TV station, and you watch it. Not many people like, hey, I'll watch it 2 hours from now. I'll watch it tomorrow. There are some things where I got to watch it live right now in real time. And that is what the ratings are all about for Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage. When you get a $144 billion deal, believe me when I tell you, WarnerMedia does not want any of you to go on YouTube. WarnerMedia does not want any of you to go on Hulu or another streaming network. They want you for Dynamite, watching Dynamite live Wednesday between 8 and 10. And when they want to make money from advertisers with revenue, they go to them and they say, look, this is what we present. This is what we have available. This is how many viewers tune into the show. This is the demographic. This is the type of viewers. You think we want to see like pills for like dementia? You know, if the demographic is 18 to 34, if your demographic is 18 to 34, do I want to see things about that I have to pee my pants? Depends. Tonight's show of AEW is brought to you by Depends. You know, no, you have your advertisers to suit the demo that you're watching on TV. Oh, pizza, beer. Can you advertise beer anymore? Yeah, you can. You know, so when they make this deal, because AEW's got a new TV deal, it's going to be coming up soon. They're going to look at not what's on YouTube, not what's on, you know, Fight, not what's on, you know, other places. They want to see what is on WarnerMedia live Wednesdays. So when you got 1,049,000, which is a nice number, did you think after AEW signed CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, Keith Lee, Ruby Soho, you just go down the list, you know, Malakai Black, do you honestly think that the ratings would still be less than before all these people were signed? When the demographic is 20% down, I've always said, us, we should not give a shit about the demo. The only reason why people give a shit about the demo is because if it's a company you like, you look at the demo and you use that to brag even further. If you don't like the company and the demo is down, you use the demo as a way. But you look at the overall viewers. Yes?
There's a big box that the guy delivered. I just got out of the bathroom. I went to pick them up. I can't pick up.
All right, soda. I'll get it.
I hope I look sexy.
I hope you didn't hear that. She said, I hope I look sexy. She was joking. You know who looks sexy? Yeah. Oh, wait, that's too small. Somebody sent me this photo. The bloodline. That is a funny photo, man. That is awesome. Look at that. That's the bloodline. Sami Zayn, oh, you are getting murdered. End storyline. That is coming soon, everyone. You know, Sami Zayn, that shit is awesome. I just, like, they should have photoshopped Sami Zayn wearing the white t-shirt also, right? I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to fix this photo, everyone. I have a regular size of it. I'm going to fix that photo. I'm going to make Sami Zayn's skin color the same as Roman Reigns, and I'm going to put the white shirt on Sami Zayn as well. So, yeah, Sami Zayn's getting whacked. Jey Uso knows what the deal is. If you look at the mobster movies and someone is trying to fit in and ultimately they get whacked, there's always one member in the mob that they don't get along with. Like, they want to shake everybody's hand and there's one person like, fuck out of here. Sami Zayn is getting whacked. But look, 1,049,000 is a decent number. The problem is fans have gotten so in tune to surprises, swerves, lights going off, lights coming back on, interference, clusterfuck, who's going to come out from the back, that once Moxley, and somebody sent me the quarter hour breakdown, once Moxley and Punk happened, the rating went below 1,000,000. So fans did tune out after that. But a lot of fans still tuned in because they thought something else was happening by the end of the night. So it's going to be interesting to see what the rating is next week, what the rating is 2 weeks from now. Now, there's a rumor going around that CM Punk may take on Jon Moxley at All Out rematch. I have to address one thing about this. If I could summarize AEW's biggest problem with the way they handle their titles, it's this. It's this. And I invite you to go back to look at the beginning of Dynamite and see if I'm wrong on this. Even if Moxley and Punk could only go 3 minutes, and I already defended that, you know, they couldn't close out Dynamite with that match because then it would have started at 10:55. You know, they had to do it at the time they did. All right, this is going to lead to a deeper storyline. I think people will forget about that match quickly. Again, that finger poke of doing comparison is just asinine, stupid. It makes no sense. But if you go back to Dynamite, and I know why they did this, but it's still a major problem. You go back to Dynamite, the first thing you should have seen on your screen when you tune into Dynamite Wednesday at 8 o'clock is the buildup for Moxley versus Punk. There should have been a video montage building up tonight. Tonight, the AEW championship will be unified. Tonight, you have maybe a pre-recorded interview with each one. You show things leading up to it. You go back and you watch Dynamite. The beginning of Dynamite. You know what the first thing they brought up? Jay Lethal versus Dax Harwood. So that was the first match. I think that was the first match, right? The first thing they brought up, there was no mention of CM Punk versus Jon Moxley. They mentioned it a minute or two later on. Was Lethal and Dax the opening? I think it was. Wasn't that the opening match? If you go back, the first thing out of their mouth should have been Moxley and Punk. They mentioned it 2 minutes later. Like tonight, you know, the match, that's not good. Even Rampage yesterday, the first thing they should have brought up was what happened on Dynamite. Later on, we're going to see some backstage footage of CM Punk being treated. You hype your most important championship, but no, what's the first thing that we saw yesterday? You know, the Dark Order versus the House of Black. And by the way, I have to pull this picture. It'll take me 10 seconds, but here's another thing that was just beyond stupid. I got to show you this. Hold on. Let me just find. Okay, here, I got it. Anybody remember this conversation we had on Wednesday? Remember this banner? House of Black versus the Dark Order on Rampage for the Trios Championship semifinal. And we said, wow, Look at 10. They removed 10 from the banner, giving you the impression that we're going to have a surprise. Someone else is going to be in. Did we see a segment where 10 got the shit knocked out of him? Nope. But they took him out. Guess who wrestled in 10's place yesterday? 10. I mean, I don't, something is not kosher in AEW. There, maybe Tony, maybe you stop taking your Prevagen, but they did that Wednesday. And look, I'm all for teasing. I'm all for teasing to try to get someone to tune in, even if you do a little bait and switch. It's not a big deal. You know, wrestling does bait and switches all the time. But they did this. They took him out. And you know what I think happened? You know what I think happened, everyone? Hangman Page has no opponent at All Out. Hangman Page, you would think, has to wrestle. If he's not going to wrestle Moxley, I have this weird vibe. And this is probably just creative DT talking, and I'm probably wrong 100%. But I got this weird creative vibe. This is what I think. I think when they posted that banner for Friday, I think somebody, Tony Khan or somebody, said, dude, no, dude, let's not do that Friday. Let's just do the regular match. And then what'll happen is we'll have the Dark Order taking on Best Friends, dude. And you know what? That's when 10 will get laid out. And then Hangman Page could get into that spot. Dude, no. Let's wait a week. Dude, no. I got that weird vibe. Like, why would you take him out and then just to put him in anyway? Did you see anybody bring that up yesterday? Nobody. Because the people that are turning the blind eye are the ones that are hurting this company. You might remember 3 years ago me saying this a lot. And I said, these people going out of their way to coddle everything AEW does is going to be their biggest, they're going to hurt them the most. They're going to be their biggest problem. Because when you're a new company, when you're up and coming, when you're doing anything, you know, one of the things you want is you want criticism. You want honest opinion. You know, I love when these people put honest opinion, honest review, honest report, honest this. And then you check it out and it's the opposite because people are so afraid to confront. We talk about it with the AEW Women's Division. We talk about the disrespect to Thunder Rosa. We talk about, you know, some of the other people and the way they're treated there. And you don't see anybody making noise about it because they are so afraid to go against the grain. So, well, we'll see what happens. But anyway, so yesterday's Rampage, we had the Dark Order beat the House of Black. Unfucking believable. The Redeemer once again, Miro. It's 7 weeks now, everyone. We joked about that 4 weeks ago when we said, look, the Redeemer, 3 weeks in a row. He stares. Remember when he had the two multi-tone glasses and he looked at Malakai Black, and Malakai Black in the ring was like, and everybody online, Miro's joining the House of Black. Miro's joining the House of Black. And then somehow Miro is in a dark room. Oh, I'm going to do a cut a promo. The Redeemer going to call out the House of Black. And somehow Julie Hart like sneaks through the mouse hole. Oh, why don't you join us? I know the production looked good. I'm saying to myself, the fuck you get in the room? Security, get rid of her. You know? So the Redeemer shows up 7 weeks to get to this point. And now Miro, he can't do it alone. For 7 weeks, I'm going to eliminate the pagans. I'm the Redeemer. God told me this. God told him, you know what? You could have like 95-year-old Sting and Darby Allin help you too, you know? And I love Sting, and I like Darby Allin. But you know why? Because we need 3-on-3. We can't have Miro take on Malakai Black 1-on-1. We'll probably get the Redeemer, Sting, and Darby Allin versus the House of Black at All Out. Redeemer! Then you realize the guy's had 3 matches since he came back from injury. 3. 3. And I think Miro is having a time of his life, man. Hey, you know what? One fall, honestly, I'm going to give props to Aubrey Edwards and some of those referees. I'm being serious. The fact that we have not poked fun or talked about them the last month, I think kind of shows that they've kind of pulled back a little bit on some of the shit that they do. That one referee that botched Forbidden Door, I can't remember his name right now, but that guy scaled back a little bit. I give him credit. He was trying to get animated like, you know, Heppner used to do. And the problem is Ian Heppner. He tried to get a little too cute with his pin attempt. Paul Turner, is that it? Yeah, Paul Turner. He tried to get a little cute with his pin attempts, and he was fucking things up. I think he just turned around and said, fuck it, you know, let me just do. And he pulled back. I give him credit. I give them credit. Oh, no, Rise or Fall in AEW, it's way premature. They ain't going out of business anytime soon. But, you know, there's one thing is for certain. Triple H taking over for Vince is bringing a lot of excitement. It's bringing a lot of energy. It's bringing a lot of hope that things will be better in a creative way for some opportunities. You know, that is yet to be seen, as way too soon. But that energy, that positive vibe should have also trickled over to AEW. You got a huge pay-per-view coming up. You got a stacked, talented roster. If you see that, you know, having longer matches and featuring women and this and that is getting a really good response. You know, look, it's like a YouTube channel. Any of you ever go look at like vidIQ or you look at TubeBuddy? If you ever watch their videos when they talk, give advice for people, you know, like how to like get more people to tune into your stuff. What do they always say? You know, if you talk about basketball or if you report news or your video blog, they say, sit and watch what other people do. Get some ideas. See, don't copy them, but see what works. See what the fans are clicking to, and you get suggestions from it. You open up a brand new business. You look and you see what other similar businesses are doing that are getting the customers in. And you look at that and you try to say, okay, you know, maybe I could do this or maybe I could do that. You would think that whatever vibe fans are really getting in a positive way about Triple H and this perception of change, you would think that AEW would indirectly say, all right, you know, we see that the fans are really reacting good to this. Oh, wow, look how Dakota Kai and Io Sky, wow, you know, they really, really reacted to that. You know, maybe we should, and it seems like the opposite is happening. You know, you see, you get the vibe, you build on that, and it seems like the reverse is happening. And it's weird. It's weird. You know, I don't think Tony Khan is that stubborn that he doesn't want to do anything that remotely smells like WWE style. You know, Tony Khan is not a stupid man, and he's got a lot of former WWE people there. You know, it's like what Jim Cornette said. If you look at CM Punk and some others, they wrestle more the WWE style than anything else, you know? But you know what? You think of CM Punk, they'll say, no, he's wrestling the Ring of Honor style. He's not wrestling the WWE style. All right, shout out to Steve Joseph with the 5 spot. Do I think AEW can get a better TV deal from someone else than Warner Media? No. Look, they could get streaming service, Netflix, something else. Of course, they could probably get a bigger deal. But honestly, you got a TBS title, you got a TNT title, Turner, WarnerMedia, they seem to have a decent relationship with AEW. The ratings, you know, which should have been better by now, are not awful. And I've said it before, their next TV deal will be more than $144 million. They will definitely get a bigger deal. But right now, because of the mistakes AEW makes, I would stay exactly where I'm at. If they can ink a new deal with WarnerMedia, I stay right there. I stay right there and I start trying to work on improving little things here and there. Remember this, 2 years from now, the AEW roster is going to look different than what it does now. The even more of a reason why Tony Khan needs to book for the now and stop the long-term booking shit. A lot of the long-term booking is simply because they can't figure out how to use people on TV every single week. A lot of wrestlers don't get an opportunity to be on TV, or they just do a backstage segment. Hey, we got them on for the week. They don't know how to use people on a consistent basis every week in the ring without forgetting about others because they have too many people. But 2 years from now, that roster is going to look a lot different. So they really got to start worrying more about the now than anything else. And that's why their pay-per-views have, you know, five-hour shows. Because the pay-per-view, now they're trying to put everybody on it, and they realize they can't unless they do 15 matches or 5 hours of content. So, all right. So, just to wrap up Rampage, the Dark Order advance. The House of Black loses because of the Demon. He distracted them. We have more antics afterwards. Jay Cargill challenges Athena at All Out. Athena cheap shotted her. Okay, fine. Wardlow squashes Ryan Nemeth. He gets to trash the crowd a little bit first. Then he gets squashed. Ortiz and Ruby Soho, they lose to Sammy Guevara and Ty Mello. The match was fun. I still can't figure out how Ortiz got busted up in the end. But I also looked when Guevara went to the top rope and hit his finisher. It looked like Ortiz was just standing there saying, give it to me, baby. He was just like, give it to me, baby. I'm waiting. Hurry up. Andre, vamos. He just was standing there. And I was looking at it and I'm like, why are you just up? Then he just got laid out. And then you had Claudio beating Dustin to retain the Ring of Honor championship. Look, I liked the match between Claudio and Dustin. You know, I don't mind seeing wrestlers who I have watched for many years still put it out in the ring once in a while. Not every wrestling match has to have a storyline or a vendetta or beef added to it. But again, you know, Ring of Honor is not back. The titles are being utilized on AEW, which has taken away a lot of precious AEW time. And Ring of Honor is not doing shows. They're not doing house shows. They're not touring. They did two shows since April. That is not a promotion that is back. So, you know, this is smoke and mirrors. Like Claudio, look at, and stop with the Samoa Joe. He's filming. He's doing fucking voiceover for a Paramount show, and that shit has been done already. People did a Google search and saw Tony Schiavone 3 months ago saying that Samoa Joe is going to do voiceover work as a clown for an upcoming Paramount show, whatever it is. And like, oh, that's why guy's gone, disappeared. You look at some, and by the way, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I mean, talk about, like, the no attention that Okada gets anymore. You would think there would be all this clamoring, get him back in the company. I know he's leaving for paternity leave, you know, and he won, I think, the G1, but, you know, like, once Forbidden Door was done, it's like, people are like, finally, let's just move on from this New Japan stuff. They got no bump. Their rating last week, I think it was, what, 48,000 viewers? They got no bump whatsoever from. All right. SmackDown, very quickly. We had Ricochet beating Happy Corbin. The last chance fatal four-way to determine who was going to go on to the semifinals. We had Aliyah, Raquel Gonzalez, awaiting the winners of Dana Brooke and Tamina. Shotzi and Xia Li, Natalya and Sonya Deville, and Nikki Ash and Dude. Did you see the little Easter egg in the back yesterday of Nikki Ash and Dewdrop? I wanted someone to lay the other one out. They were fighting, cursing at each other. That team is done. That team is all about done. But yesterday, Natalya and Sonya Deville, They win because Dana Brooke basically superplexed or suplexed Nikki Ash onto all the women outside the ring. Nikki Ash was knocked for a loop. Sonya rolls her back in, pins her. Sonya and Natty go on later on in the night, and they lose to Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez. So now, on Monday, we have Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah versus Io Sky and Dakota Kai to crown your next WWE Tag Team Champions. Now, I ask all of you, did we really need Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss versus Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai at Clash at the Castle? I would have rather have seen the women's championship final, tag team final, at Clash at the Castle and give Bianca Belair a one-on-one match. I feel, this is what I think is going to happen. I think Io Sky and Dakota Kai absolutely are going to be the tag champs. I think everybody predicted that from as soon as the brackets opened. And I think at Clash at the Castle, Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka will win. Because Sky and Kai are already going to have the tag titles. So they could lose at Clash at the Castle. It doesn't matter. They're still tag team champions. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to have Sky and Kai as your next tag team champions. Now the question is, does Mercedes' motivation and Naomi make their return? Does anybody know why I just said Mercedes' motivation? I'm very curious if anybody knows why I said that. Somebody writes it in the chat, then I'll tell you why I said that. Mercedes' motivation. All right. So, SmackDown yesterday. Now the Hit Row are hanging out with the Street Profits. Okay. You know, anybody question, like, why did the Street Profits stock feel like it just dropped dramatically? I don't know, man. We went from thinking the Street Profits were going to win the tag titles at SummerSlam to, like, nothing. Like, nothing. I mean, I didn't even know the Street Profits had their own bus. Because yesterday we had some goofy segments where the Maximum Male Models, they're posing. Hey, little more of the shirt. Open up the shirt. And then there's a giant bus, like, right next to them. First of all, why are the Maximum Male Models doing a photo shoot in a parking garage? I mean, just think about that for a minute. A parking garage? This segment was kind of stupid. Nobody knows why I said Mercedes' motivation? Wow. I'll tell you in a minute. Right now, somebody's Googling trying to find out why I said that. So Hit Row, we think, rented a bus. And while the Maximum Male Models are doing their photo shoot, Hit Row's music hits. And, you know, obviously, Max Dupri gets pissed off. And the models get pissed off. And here comes Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. And they're going to try to help out a little bit. We start seeing some, you know, Maximum Male Models and, you know, the Los Lotarios. We see a little graffiti on the bus taking shots at Hit Row. Hit Row sucks. And then Hit Row is like, there ain't no bus. First of all, I'd be more pissed off. Like, the fuck you saying I suck for? Tell me to my face. Do I suck or do I blow? Oh, no. I mean, they're doing graffiti on the bus. And they're like, that ain't no bus. It was the Street Profits bus. So next week, Hit Row and the Maximum Male Models will actually compete in the ring. I'm looking forward to that. Gunther, Sheamus confrontation. We were watching it yesterday and we were looking at Butch and Ludwig Kaiser. And I said it in the watch party yesterday. I said, I want those two guys to have a match. We're getting that match next week. I'm looking forward to that. Xavier Woods returns. He was in a wheelchair. Everybody and their mother knew what was going to happen yesterday. The only thing we were wondering is if he was going to have the fake Kevin Nash cast. He gets out of the wheelchair. He's got Singapore canes. Him and Kofi start whipping the Viking Raiders. No sign of what's her face? We had Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and why am I drawing a blank? Who's the other? That's Sonya. What was her name? Sarah Logan. Thank you. I knew there was an S somewhere. Sarah Logan. Yeah, we haven't seen Sarah Logan since. Is she going to return? Did they have her do that segment? Or did they just go on Wish and say, we need a woman with dreadlocks? I think it was Sarah Logan, and I think she will be back. We'll see. We'll see. Next week, Roman Reigns celebrates 2-year anniversary of his title reign. Karrion Kross will make his SmackDown in-ring debut, his return to WWE. He will wrestle. I don't want to say who he wrestles, you know. If you want to check it out online, you can check it out. And the New Day next week will be taking on the Viking Raiders in a Viking rules match. So that is what we have to look forward to next week. Again, like I said, there are full spoilers online if you want to go check out and see what happens on SmackDown. I don't want to give away as far as matches that are not going to happen at Clash at the Castle, but we'll talk about that Monday. I'll get into a couple of matches that we were hoping were going to happen, but are not going to happen. I will tell you this. It looks like Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler will remain one-on-one. So we all thought that Ronda Rousey may be added to the mix, which would have been an interesting dynamic. Because, again, Ronda Rousey could have taken out Sonya Deville, and then Liv, maybe they just don't want Liv to get the cheap win, you know, after the heat that she got for tapping out against Ronda. But it looks like it will remain one-on-one. But we'll talk about that more on Monday. I want to start bringing this home because we've already gone 90 minutes. So pretty good show today. Good combo. I think I covered everything. I'm looking at my list. I made a little checklist for today. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, I will be back here for the sit-down. That still doesn't look good. The sit-down. I will be here tomorrow. If you have any questions, comments, live 8:05 p.m. And yeah, that'll be the last sit down for about what, 3 weeks? Because next Saturday, shit's going down. Following Saturday, I'll be in Florida. So once again, this is my schedule. Tentative. I mean, we might have a change a little here and there, but next week's Don Tony show will air Friday instead of Saturday, as will the following week too. So, all right. So with that said, I think we're going to start bringing this home. Thank you very much, everyone. I am nervous. Fucking eye is killing me. So I have to make sure I don't get sick. So, but yeah, shit's going down, man. Tying a knot. So I'll probably be prepared with pictures and maybe a little, I don't know about video as quick as the 5th. But I'll be on here Monday, Labor Day, which will be 2 days after. And that Monday is going to be really hectic because we're going to talk about All Out. We're going to talk about Clash at the Castle. We're going to talk about NXT, you know, because people forget about that show, which will be Sunday afternoon, the 4th. And then we have Raw. So it's going to be a pretty loaded show that day. So, but look, we still got a whole week worth of shows to go. So I ain't going nowhere. So if you're around tomorrow night at 8:05, join me right here. Have your questions ready. We'll get into anything. It doesn't have to be wrestling, you know, but great topics. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope everybody has a great weekend. You know, here in New York, the weather's nice today, sunny weather. Me now, I have to do more things to prepare. So she's lucky to have me. No, I am lucky to have her. Seriously, she straightens my ass out. She keeps me in check. You know, some people that think like, oh, I want the old DT. Well, she's probably partly responsible for me growing up a little bit too. So, but yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. So, all right, enough of me rambling. Any questions or comments you have regarding tonight's show, you're more than welcome to post it in the comment section after I complete this show. And I did answer some yesterday. I will do more tonight. And then once again, tomorrow, 8.05 p.m., you're more than welcome to join me right here. And we will just sit back, have some fun, live chat, Q&A, discussion. And yeah, that's it. Be well, everybody. Much love. I see you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.